97.5, The Fanatic. Devon Gibbons.
How do you not hear when I go off on this team? I don't need to do it every night. I do it often because especially those games that they lose in a row where I say it's disappointing, it's unacceptable. Brett Brown was going to lose his job if he doesn't get this team to the NBA Finals. If they don't get to the NBA Finals, the season was a failure. You didn't hear all of that? You didn't hear any of that?
Joe Torti.
What exactly have Simmons, Embiid, and the Sixers under those two guys done to merit your ridiculous for even talking about these guys in any kind of trade discussion? Like, what have they done that makes them so freaking untouchable that if you even mention either one of those guys, there's like this collective shudder and an eye roll?
The Crossover, right now on 97.5, The Fanatic.
That's right. Back with my brother, Joe Torti, here on this Monday night, back from the weekend, as we broadcast from the Xfinity studio, only from Comcast, with Josh Rabick. JT,
how was the weekend?
Weekend was great.
Yes.
Weekend was really, really good. I had a thought as I was driving in here. I was thinking about Jordan Reed, who's one of my favorite players, fantasy-wise, and to watch in the NFL.
I just saw that, yes.
And the story is that he's still in the concussion protocol.
When did the season end? For Washington?
Forget that. If you're still in the concussion protocol and the concussion that you experienced happened in August before the season started, you're not going to come out of the concussion protocol. That's about it. You know, Sidney Crosby missed like 2 years with this like kind of situation going on. So
time to retire.
Yeah, Jordan Reed's, he doesn't have 2 more years to give you, I don't think so.
Time to retire.
Very sad.
Retire, man. That is sad. And I saw that and I'm like, but I didn't realize it was from August.
From preseason. Bang!
Man.
That's crazy.
Played.
Yeah.
He played. And you know he got another one point in there. Well, I do want to talk to you about this because we've been talking about the All-Star game. We'll get to that. But I want to talk to you about...
Oh, trash can gate?
Have at it, Joe Torti.
All right, so here's what the league should do, and here's what the teams should do. Because I think that there's a difference, right? Because there's only so much that teams will be allowed to do versus what the league can do, right? I don't like the suspension and like the like banning players from playoffs or whatever. Like, I don't like that. I don't know if it'll work. Here's what I'll say. Two nice penalties. Because you've got to address the system, like the team and the sports system, and also the players involved.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty simple. If you think that they were cheating for 3 years, 2017, 2018, 2019, as a lot of people do think that that was the case.
That's the latest, 2019, people feel like.
Yep. No home playoff games, period. Which is to say, if you they can still make the playoffs, they do not get to host a game, they don't get to get the gate, they don't get to get any of that kind of stuff. No home playoff games, period, for 3 years.
Hmm.
I think that that's a decent way to at least sting ownership, to sting people who are associated with it. Similarly, no All-Star appearances, no being named to the All-Star game for any of the players that were on the teams during 2017, 2018, and 2019 for 3 years. You're going to get pushback on this, obviously, from the Players Association, right? I don't understand why, if I'm Major League Baseball, I think this is worth fighting because it's like, all right, well, who are you going to side with? Cheaters or people who you represent who lost jobs because they were getting hit around by these guys? Players who didn't cheat and would deserve to make the All-Star game except for other people cheating. And we'll address whether it mattered or not in a second because, you know, I've got, you know me, D, I like stats.
Yes.
So when I hear things like it didn't impact the game, I'm like, well, let me investigate. Did it or did it not? And I've got some stuff.
Sure.
Let's talk about what teams should do. And I wanted to get your thoughts on this because this is the most radical part of it, right? You ever play with somebody who's cheating at cards or something like that, or basketball or anything?
Absolutely.
Right. Most of the time, you just blow it off. You're like, whatever. Cheating, right. You know, I don't do that.
Yeah.
If there's money or any kind of prestige or anything like that on the line, what can you do personally? Like, what do you do? For me, any time that I've been in that situation, I'm just not, that person is not one of mine anymore. I'm just not going to play with that person anymore. If you're a team, I would totally support you if the Astros went 162-0 because every team just said, nope, I'm not going to play you today, and just let them roll through. Mm. Yeah, maybe they'll go 162-0, but you've got to explain why a team that is under scrutiny for cheating went 162-0. Explain that, Rob Manfred.
Right.
And also, they're sitting around all season. How do you think they're going to do in the postseason?
Right.
Like, literally just sitting around. So, and by the way, in a postseason that they're not allowed to host any games.
Right.
I think it's extreme. And when you're talking about players' incentives and contracts and stuff like that, it's tough to throw away games like that and series like that if you're in the AL. I would support my players if I were a manager and they said, yeah, we don't want to play against this crew. What do you think about those things?
I especially like that last one with the players saying to the, you know, their manager or the owner, because once they ask the general manager, mm-hmm. you know, you don't want to do what? And well, listen, this is why. Because we stand for one thing when mm-hmm. it comes to baseball.
Yep.
And they totally violated everything that we believe within this game. Now, the only kickback with that is a lot of these players around the league know what's going on with a lot of the other players.
Yes.
So how much of that will come back on the opposition?
Sure.
Because they're ticked off that you're doing this. And yes, 162-0, that looks great, but it's a joke. 162-0.
That's why. Yeah. I think it that would be the ultimate stick it to them, is if yes. you get everybody in.
Because right now, you'll probably get the stuff where, as we said, when they visit ballparks, they come mm-hmm. to Philadelphia, or they go wherever they go, it's signs everywhere, boos everywhere,
right.
yelling at the players, this, and the other thing. And it's all on the table. It's all on the table. You're going to get thrown at, possibly.
I think Vegas said it at 86.5 beans this year.
Especially certain players.
Yeah.
Like Jose Altuve.
Hard to hit, by the way.
Right.
Not easy to hit. Right. They're going to try.
Right, but they'll do it.
Yes.
And they'll get it done. And they'll do things within the game that will get the Astros upset. They'll want to react to it, and
there's
going to
be
so
a collision
forth.
On every base, yeah. like everything. Yeah.
How many brawls?
Yeah,
are going to have to, or little, you know, chest to chest things are going to have to be broken up because of guys are actually upset about this.
Yeah, now here's the thing.
Especially
right?
as you pointed out, the thing that a lot of people don't talk about, those relievers that are on one-year deals, trying to stay in, right? I'm a lefty guy. I'm a specialist. I come in for the eighth inning, and then I only come in for one batter. The righty comes in for the other two batters. Guess what? He got rocked. He's gone. He's teaching at whatever academy he's teaching at right. about baseball, when he could still potentially be in the league as a Major League Baseball player, but because of the stuff that happens, there are a lot of lives that were affected by this, impacted.
Well, think about how many pitchers.
I do like it, though. But you, yeah.
We got to think about it.
I do like
it. So let's expand on a couple things. How many pitchers have come out recently and people have said, that guy's tipping pitches and this guy's tipping pitches, right?
We hear that all the time.
Some of them probably are, but how many of them aren't? Like, how many of them in their minds are like, damn, I'm doing something on my curveball, or I'm doing something. And they really weren't. It was just the video relay, and now they're broken. Like, I'm not saying that Yu Darvish is like this, but say a guy like Yu Darvish is sitting there thinking, like, I've got nothing more for this league now because I'm tipping pitches and I don't know what I'm doing. I can't fix it.
Hold on. Clayton Kershaw.
Right? Oh, Clayton Kershaw sucks in the postseason,
Clayton
doesn't
Kershaw.
He? Oh, he's garbage in the postseason. Terrible.
Wait a minute. This is Cy Young winner. He's the best.
He just forgets how to pitch?
He just forgot how to pitch.
Really?
We might know why.
Now, look, I'm willing to entertain the prospect that Clayton Kershaw is not a clutch pitcher and pitches a little bit worse
Absolutely.
In the playoffs.
But there's something there to go along with it now.
Turns into the worst pitcher in baseball? Come on now. All right, so.
Okay, continue.
All-star stuff, right?
Uh-huh.
Why punish pitchers for what's been going on, right? Like, why would you punish Astros pitchers, relievers, and stuff like that.
Even guys who are already there, like Verlander and so on?
Especially those guys, because okay. it matters to those guys. Those are the all-stars, right? It sends a message that says, well, first of all, you benefited from run support, and your stats are improved. Maybe you get named to the all-star game because your guys are smacking people around at home.
Cy Young, Gerrit Cole.
Who says he had no idea, right? Gerrit Cole came out today and said he had no idea, wasn't involved in that. Obviously, he's with the Yankees now. I don't care whether he did or didn't. What I'm saying is there are very few instances in team sports where you don't know what's going on with your team. Whether you don't hear something, you don't like...
From January to October.
That's all, and you're together every day, right?
You're like, wait a minute. Why is all that banging going on? And we're in New York now. Right. Same thing was happening in Milwaukee.
It says the same thing. As far as I'm concerned, it speaks to accountability, where this is not going to be tolerated, and it's not just on the baseball police to catch this kind of stuff. Because if your teammates are doing this and they get caught and nobody reported it, everybody's in trouble. Like, yeah. I think that is something, that's why I look at it like nobody on the team should be allowed, because, I mean, you just think of all of the ripple effects. You can't really anticipate which pitches and which wins were legit, which ones weren't. You got to throw the whole thing out. You have to. So that's why I included the pitchers in that all-star game ban for 3 years. And it's unfortunate. Like, it really is. And I think that some of these guys are really good players, right? I'll never look at Jose Altuve ever again. Never. Like, think about how he rewrote what people thought about baseball and the second base position and everything else like this. Can I share with you some statistics from the 2017 playoffs?
And let me know if you have any information on the shoulder tattoo. Go ahead.
Oh, the shoulder tattoo. It exists.
Yes.
The collarbone tattoo exists. No clarification on whether it is a bad tattoo or not.
Or if it was completed at the time. Go
right.
Ahead.
Yes. Yes. Right. Exactly. 2017 playoffs. And I am assuming
that was the best.
That was awesome. If we look for 2018, 2019, I would anticipate that you're going to see some similar stuff.
Okay.
Jose Altuve batted 472 at home. Almost 50%. Batted 472. He batted 143 on the road in the postseason.
Mm.
Carlos Correa, he of the everyone should shut up about the Astros cheating situation.
Please.
371 at home. 211 on the road.
Mm.
Here's my favorite one. You ready for this one, D? Our friend Brian McCann. 300 batting average.
Atlanta Braves Brian McCann.
That's the one, right? Our good friend.
Yeah, he's a good friend.
What do you think he batted on the road?
What was his home?
300.
300. I'll go with a huge 200.
Well, 200. I mean, that'd be a pretty big drop-off.
Okay.
0.037 on the road. So Altuve drops from 472 to 143.
Oh my gosh.
Correa 371 to 211. And McCann 300 to 037.
Wow.
You tell me if it didn't impact the game. Come on. Oh.
The audacity for them to go out there and act as if nothing happened.
Well, and the thing that gets me is that Robert Manfred's legacy is going to be defined by this exact thing. Because his legacy, as far as I was concerned, was just kind of like unwritten vanilla ice cream. Like, yeah, Robert Manfred's just there kind of carrying on from Bud Selig, etc., right? And now it's like, okay, he finally has a watershed moment, and it is... First of all, disparaging the importance of the trophy that's called the Commissioner's Trophy and saying that, oh, you know, all of our stuff doesn't matter. Immunity for the players is super important. I applaud Dusty Baker for doing his job and saying, hey, our players need to be protected from the beanball. But for Rob Manfred to say that we're going to be keeping an eye on everybody who plays the Astros because we've got to protect them. Holy smokes. I thought that everything the commissioner has done in the last 3 or 4 days, it's been really rough.
Have to protect them, and I did see something where they were talking to, you know, he had his whatever he said out there, right? Just amazing, man. For this to be what it is and what it has turned out to be with this baseball team, and I just mentioned, I don't know if you had a chance to hear, you know, as you were getting ready to jump in here, that looking at the rebuild and how fast things turned around for them, right? Where they started. Scouting, hey, they scouted well.
Sure
they
did.
Found some really good talent. Jealous of what they were able to put together because, oh my goodness, they are now that's what you want to be.
Yes.
And while you can't take that part away from them, it just has you questioning certain things because of everything that has now come to light with this baseball team, with the manager, affecting things with the Red Sox now. They made their own dumb decision by trading Mookie Betts, but who's to say that they... Didn't they set a record now with wins when Cora was there?
Right.
Right.
Yep.
Over 100. And how much of that was them also doing something? Something.
Yes. Yeah. Now, speaking of that, the draft picks is a good start. It's not enough.
Well, yeah, you have to start. That's the first thing. Well, not the first thing, but that's one of the starts.
You've also got to limit their ability to get involved internationally because they are hyperactive in the international pool as well.
Okay, I like that.
Like, you've got to find a way to make that happen. I think it's got to be every level needs to be punished if you're going to show teams that, hey, this is serious. Because a caller or one of you guys, I can't remember, brought it up and said, well, what if the... Seriously, all the Phillies have to do is pay $5 million in a couple of first-round draft picks like to get a World Series?
A caller pointed that out.
Come on, man.
Yeah, $5 million is the penalty.
That's chump change.
But he went really excessive. He went $40, $50 million.
I was like, oh. That would deter you.
that would get your attention. Man.
Yeah.
It's just amazing. What do you guys think of everything with the Astros, and how should they have been punished? Should they still be punished? Did Manfred do enough? 610-632-0975. And Joe, we'll get to you with your thoughts on the All-Star Weekend, which I thought was pretty good.
No, I got some of those too, yeah.
All right, appreciate it. Let's go to the phones. Let's check in with Will, who wants to talk some Astros and their penalty, or lack thereof, with Will here on the Fanatic. What's up, Will?
Hey, speaking. What's up, guys?
Hey, Will.
Yeah, did the commissioner dish out any type of penalty to the both teams, or did he say they were penalized yet, or like punished or anything yet?
Well, we saw the forfeiture of the draft picks and the $5 million.
Are you serious? Like, they should be banned. Both teams should be banned from the postseason for at least 2 years.
Wait, which both teams?
Who cheated? It was Red Sox and the Astros, right?
Well, I mean, I hadn't heard that the Red Sox had the trash can situation.
No, it's just more because of Cora was with the Astros and he's now the manager of the Boston Red Sox.
But I would buy that.
Was.
Well, Houston should be banned for 2 years from the postseason and fined a hefty fine and draft picks. Like, come on. These guys stole signs and cheated to win a World Series. When New England did it, what'd they do? They just lose draft picks and Kraft paid a big fine that he could afford.
Well, can I tell you why I don't want them banned from the postseason? Because because that actually gives them options in terms of not trying to win games at the end of the year, not pushing pitchers, not bringing guys up so that they lose control. Like, they're just going to be like hanging on to prospects and kind of waiting out however long this postseason ban is. If you have them eligible to make the postseason, at least they're not just going to be able to sit on their prospect pool until they have first-round draft picks again. Does that make sense?
It does, but still, like, so if you want to let them get away with something like that, you might as well reinstate Pete Rose in the Hall of Fame. I mean, what he did was crumbs to compare what the Houston Astros got away with. Like, how long you going to ban Pete Rose and punish him, but you let Houston get away with murder, and they still get to keep their championship?
Yeah, they do, man. And listen, thanks for the call, Will. Appreciate it. We brought this up a little bit earlier, of course, with Barry Bonds and Sammy Sosa and Pete Rose, and even Pete Rose has spoken out.
It'll always come up, yeah.
Yeah, it's always going to come up because, all right, I'm not the only one, and they get to keep theirs, so I should also be in the Hall of Fame. So this is...
it's morbid. Pete Rose is going to be in the Hall of Fame.
Just
He's never going to see it.
He just may not see it.
But, like, you can almost... I hope that, you know, based on the choices that I make, my grandchildren are going to live great lives when they're like 25, 30, 35 years old. But I don't know. Like, I'm taking it on faith, but I can still feel good about it and know that I'm doing the right things at the time. I think for Pete Rose, that's something different. I'm always torn on the steroids and baseball thing because it is straight up cheating. But also, as I brought up to you before, Devon, people don't know how steroids work. Like, you still have, it's not like you stick a needle in your rear end and then all of a sudden you like puff up like, you know, Hercules or Lex Luger or somebody like that. Like, it's, you still have to go in and put in the work. Is that your body can tolerate the work way better than, you know, it would ever be able to do without steroids. So I'm torn on that because lots of people were doing it in baseball. But
when you're talking about two of the best.
Yeah,
it hurts. That's a super advantage, of course. And just to give people the punishments that were handed down in the beginning.
Yes.
Of course, the Major League Baseball, Houston Astros gave Houston Astros general manager Jeff Lunau and manager A.J. Hinch a year for their role in, as they say, in using electronic equipment and stealing the signs and banging on the trash cans. And the finding the organization to $5 million and stripping them of the first and second round draft picks in 2020, 2021. Later on, that same day, the Astros owner, Jim Crane, fired both of them. Just to be clear.
Someone else's problem now.
Yes. No longer my issue. We'll go find someone else.
Yeah, that wasn't disciplinary. That was, this is not worth my problem.
No.
Like, if the baseball manager, we talked about the baseball manager arguably being the least important in all of sports.
Yes.
I'm not, this is not worth the problem.
And let's not forget about the assistant GM during their run, their playoff run. Brandon, what was it? Taubman?
Oh, my gosh. I can't.
Yeah, he was banned for at least a year at that time. For some comments that he made to a female reporter.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Yeah, right? So all of this stuff just going on top, on top, on top. And then Carlos Beltran, everybody, right, is looking forward to him, seeing what he does with the Mets. We hope he's terrible because they play the Phillies.
Taubman, yeah.
He's fired.
Yeah.
Alex Cora, hot name, of course, for everything that he done with the Astros, goes to the Red Sox mm-hmm. and does a great job. All right. Okay.
Great.
Yeah,
not my problem anymore.
How's that?
So what do you think about the idea that the players got immunity? There are people talking about it's great that the players got immunity because you would have never gotten the clarity without the players. What do you think about that?
I don't think they should have gotten them. But, all right, here's
they're not
the going
to talk without it.
Yeah, they're not going to talk without it. And here's the thing. It's hard to really pinpoint who knew what, as we talk right. about with a lot of these guys.
Yes.
Who knows? You would assume that since they're all together, they're there for all these days, all these months, that they know something, but you can't prove it.
See, my problem is that Jeff Passan says he knew in 2018 and that he couldn't go with it because he didn't have people to go on the record to support the story and stuff like that. But you did get the one guy. You got the one pitcher to come out and be like, yeah, by the way, just so you know, everybody's been saying the Astros are cheating. They totally have been cheating like this entire time. And that kind of blew the story. I don't think that you needed necessarily the Astros in order to put this together. It happened faster. But I think that you could have found a way. I mean, there's somebody, a Houston Astros fan, went back and like charted all of the games and stuff like that and did the trash can bangs and showed the effect that it had because he was disgusted with his team and he wanted to see if it was true or not. Like, you're telling me that Major League Baseball with all their resources
can't
could have done that. Something like that?
Yeah, can't. They didn't want to do that. They didn't want to
of
do
course.
That. And do you believe others have done it?
Yeah, I do. I think that a lot of people cheat. But there's a difference when everyone's cheating in baseball and everyone's like, yeah, that's kind of the game. And every team in the freaking league is like, yo, the Astros are like plus.
Yeah,
right
we
now.
Do it, but you might want to look over there.
Yeah, this is something serious.
610-632-0975, talking the Astros, the punishment, lack thereof, whatever it might be for you. Let's get to that on the other side. 610-632-0975. Josh Rabick is producing. Joe Torti here alongside me. I'm Devon Gibbons. We're with you until 10 together right here on The Fanatic. Who does that?
Well, Doug Funny does.
Doug Funny does. But so do the Houston Astros. 610-632-0975. Taking your phone calls on the Astros and the scandal that has been going on. It's all over the place now. I was looking at a report from Bleacher Report where it was said to Jeff Passan of ESPN.com that a quote, dissatisfaction with the penalties after Commissioner Rob Manfred explained the punishment in a conference call around the league. The impression, this is from a source, the impression was that the penalty for complaining would be more than Houston got. It will scare employees of MLB teams for cheating, at least for a while, one high-ranking executive said, and the man who owns the team gets to enjoy his ring. He gets off lightly and can start with a clean slate.
Right. I mean, it is a very, I think temporary is a good way to look at it. Like, I don't think that that, do you remember what the penalties were when the steroid crackdown first happened? I mean, you're talking about massive, massive penalties. Like, for example, the Astros' former top prospect I saw today got suspended like 150 games for his second steroid offense. Like, he got 80 the first time and 150 the second. That's a message. That's like, all right, steroids are not okay. Like, what does this really say that there is no way that you're ever going to do anything like this again? Like, I don't know. I just don't think it's that great of a deterrent. I really don't.
610-632-0975. And arguably the best in baseball, Mike Trout, he spoke out about everything today. Looking at a quote he was speaking with, he told reporters at spring training that, here's the quote, they cheated. I don't agree with the punishment. I lost respect for some of the guys. Going up to the plate, knowing what's coming, that would be a lot of fun.
Yeah, a three-time MVP says, yeah, that's great.
Yeah.
Now, I admire Mike Trout for that, because there's like this thought in pro sports that like you can never, like it is a total collective, and a player will never ever say anything bad about another player. To say that you lost respect for guys who are champions, good for you, dude.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Mike Trout is as close as you can get to being bigger than the game from like a financial standpoint, from a talent standpoint. So maybe he's in a unique position to do that. But I think that's awesome.
And here's Trout speaking about the Jose Altuve video about them removing the shirt. You can take my shirt off. If you hit a homer to send your team to the World Series at home, you can do whatever you want to me.
Right, are you thinking about that?
No.
My goodness.
For one reason. The shoulder tattoo.
The tat. Mm. It's not a good tat.
Not good.
Supposedly.
Not
on
good.
The collarbone.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then I saw a photo of like six guys with him.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing on the shoulder blade.
Well, you know. So I said, I told you off the air that somebody was tweeting out that like during his media availability, Altuve like walked over to his locker, took off his shirt, turned around, showed the left collarbone tattoo, turned back around and put like another shirt on. Like that was going to answer anything about what's going on in 2017.
No, dude.
2018, 2019.
No, dude.
No.
Not going to happen. 610-632-0975. Jerry in Newtown next on the Fanatic. What's up, Jerry?
Yeah, what's going on, fellas?
Hey, Jerry.
I'm not really like a big baseball guy. Like, I mean, I'll go to a game and yeah, I follow the Phillies and stuff, but I said the same thing back in, it's been so long. I can't even remember what, 2004, 2005, when the Patriots cheated against us. I can't understand how, first of all, $5 million to the Astros. I mean, what's that dude worth? A couple billion dollars? Like, come on, guys.
Right.
You couldn't make it like a substantial amount of money.
And that's what some of the people were saying, and, you know, these things were reading off. He won.
He got a World Series
championship. He still has some nice young players, and he still has his money.
What, did he make a billion when they won the Super Bowl off all the merchandise and this, that, and the other? Like, come on, man. Like, the $5 million is an absolute joke. Obviously, you're going to have to fire the general manager and that. I can't believe that the league only suspended them. The fact that they didn't completely kick them out of the league is an absolute joke. The fact that they're not banned from ever coaching or general managing in the MLB, it, to me, is an absolute disgrace. And then, to be honest with you, I don't understand the message that we're sending the kids. The same thing with the Patriots. You're allowed to cheat and get an absolute huge advantage. But the only thing that's going to happen is we're going to charge a billionaire a couple mil, which again means nothing to him, and there's no asterisk, there's no nothing. It'll just, your name still goes in the history book. I can't understand that, to be perfectly honest with you.
Well, Jerry, I'm not a fan of like awarding, like say the Dodgers or anybody else the championship, but a total vacation where there's nothing in the record book, I'd be okay
Absolutely.
With that. I'd be totally
Absolutely.
Okay with that.
Yeah, no, nobody should be there, and I don't think the Eagles should have got it when the Patriots cheated. But my God, all it cost them was a couple draft picks. And so now basically what you're saying is, right, most teams, again, there are certain circumstances where, you know what I mean, like the Patriots dynasty and the Yankees, things like that. Most teams, after they win a championship, they go on a decline, right? It's just kind of how things have always worked. So basically what you're saying to teams is, hey, you guys can cheat, but for the next couple years after that, we're really going to take your draft picks away and find you some money, so you might not be as good. What?
Right. Right. I mean, Jerry, good stuff.
Thanks,
man.
Thanks, appreciate it.
That's totally true.
Yeah.
And by the way, I think the Dodgers themselves would tell you, like, no, we want to, like, have the final out. We want to have the champagne.
Experience all of that.
Yeah, like, right. Putting it on afterwards is nothing. But a caller talking about how, yeah, the fans can say in their minds they won the World Series or whatever, but 20 years from now, there's going to be another generation of baseball fans being like, well, what happened in 2017? I think that's powerful. I think that matters. Like, people shouldn't know about the Black Sox. They do. They do today. Like, people go back and they're like, what? What do you mean there's no World Series? Was there a lockout? No, it was this. Like, I think that that is a pretty good way of, you know, punishing a team.
And that's what Josh and I were talking about before you got here. We were speaking about that, and I had mentioned, you know, all right, cool. It's hard to take that stuff away or put an asterisk or whatever, but if you do, the memory is never lost. But
until it is.
Now the impact of the memory is gone because it's not in the record books the way it's supposed to be.
Right.
It's there with a star next to it. And what does that denote? Yeah. Exactly that. Not the positive things, not the numbers that you laid out with those guys, not those home runs that they thought they had that they wiped away because of what you guys did individually, what you did as a team, and not playing fair.
So here's how I compare it for, who was it? Was it Jeff Kemp who said that?
Jeff Kemp.
Or Matt Kemp. It was Matt Kemp who came out and said that he didn't participate in the cheating, right? Was that what happened? I think I saw that.
Right. Okay. Okay.
Here's how I look at it, right? It's like the team was taking an entrance exam to a college or a high school or something like that, right? Like, if you've ever been in that position and you only cheat on one question and everything else is on the up and up, you will never know for the rest of your life if you get into that school, if you got in because of that one question or not.
Gotcha.
You'll never know.
Right.
I don't care if there were a ton of people on the Astros who weren't cheating. That doesn't make a lick of difference to me. Like, I showed you the numbers with McCann and Altuve and the other guys, the home and road splits. If you don't think that that could have impacted, like, are the Astros that good and the other team was that bad that if one or two guys were cheating, it couldn't tip the scales in the series? Like, of course it could. So that's the way I look at it. Like, I don't care if the relief pitchers didn't know. I don't care if Garrett Cole didn't know. Like, you benefited and you don't know. You'll never know. You can't if you were good enough to overcome without those guys cheating.
610-632-0975. Go back to the phones. We check in with Marty in Haverford on the Fanatic. What's up, Marty?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good. Hey, I was saying to your producer, I wonder if there becomes a building wave among baseball teams and owners against the way this was dealt with by Manfred, and would they potentially force Manfred out? I mean, they put him there. And the other thing is this.
That's tough.
Well, here's the other thing. Manfred, at this point, he can't go back and basically say, oh, you know what? I actually changed my mind, and I'm actually going to be much harsher. He can't do that.
Yes,
that,
late.
That boat has sailed. So that is also the only way that Major League Baseball could, in fact, impose severe penalties against all the players involved, and harsher penalties against the Astros. And it would have to be by replacing Manfred with a new commissioner who would be able to walk in and say, you know, here's why I'm here. And he could be the new, you know, Kennesaw Mountain Landis and basically, you know, lay the hammer down.
Well, and Marty, like, I get that things are collectively bargained too. Like, I understand that. But I thought it was an opportunity for Manfred to just go way beyond the collective bargaining agreement, to just start throwing stuff out there and have the players' union decide, like, okay, which side of this do you really want to be on here?
Right.
Right. Exactly. I mean, they're losing their sport. I mean, it's already becoming a regional sport as it is over the last 20, 30 years. And I think the steroid era really ultimately did damage. You know, it's hard to look at those records of 70 plus home run years and, you know, obviously all that is in question, and a lot of legitimate players' accomplishments came into question. And here's just another one. I mean, you know, the ultimate championship of the sport, and you have, here was, won by cheating. That's how that team got there. So I think their credibility problem is so extreme. So now you're going to have, you know, 29 teams trying to take it out on the Astros' heads whenever they come to town. And, you know, it's a real missed opportunity on the part of Manfred to get this right. So I think that would be the only way at this point, would be for Manfred to be forced out. And that would have to happen fairly quickly. I mean, within the next weeks or months.
Well, Marty, thanks, man. Appreciate the phone call. I think the other thing would be a reversal. If Rob Manfred has the wherewithal to be like, all right, I missed on this. Let's try again. Like, I think that's possible. You're the commissioner. You're the king. So I don't think that's too late either.
There'd be a lot of kickback on that.
There'd be a lot of
pushback.
By the way,
on that.
I was 0 for 2 on Kemp's. It was Tony Kemp.
Tony Kemp.
The other Kemp.
Oh.
Not Jeff, the quarterback, and Matt, the former outfielder, like, you know, kind of washed up situation. It was Tony.
Yeah, forgot about Tony.
Triple A guy. Yeah,
all right,
sorry
Tom.
About that.
It's all good,
catch
Tom.
Up.
Yeah, we'll get to you later. 610-632-0975. We'll keep this going. Nick, Josh, everybody else, sit tight. We'll come back. Joe Torre, Devon Givens here on The Fanatic.
The Fanatic.
847-97-5, The Fanatic. Devon Givens, Joe Torte with you until 10 o'clock right here on 97.5 The Fanatic. Josh Ravick producing the show. And I want to tell you guys about the Fanatic Pro Shop. If you want to outfit yourself with some cool Fanatic and Philly sports swag, there's lots of Fanatic and Philly sports team themed merchandise at great prices, from hoodies to long sleeve tees, mugs, caps, phone cases, tanks, and a lot more. The Fanatic Pro Shop has something for everyone, including our lady listeners, with unique Fanatic and Philly designs. Go to 975thefanatic.com and check out the Fanatic Pro Shop, open now.
All right, so here's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking we do like a Fanatic t-shirt that's like green, inspired by like the Phillies green jerseys, except it's just the sleeves, right? And then this part, like the chest part, is gray and it's got ridges like a trash can. And it's like Oscar the Grouch situation. And then on the back, it just says MVP. There's no name. It's just like, you know, the trash can's the MVP. I would buy this.
You've already come up with the designs and everything.
Yeah, well, I mean, it would be the second one in my closet next to the t-shirt with a massive Devon Givens face on it on the back. Obviously, I've already planned that one out.
Got you.
But this is number two. I would support that from the Fanatic Pro Shop.
Nice work.
Yeah.
Long sleeve, you said?
I would do the long sleeve, yeah, to get the full Oscar the Grouch effect.
Absolutely.
For sure. Oh, yeah, they were the SB team of the year. I forgot about that. Tom Jackson just tweeted out. Good to know that the Astros were the
they have to get that SB back.
Yeah, the Eagles did not win that year.
Mm.
You know, the Super Bowl Eagles, yeah, did not win.
Oh, okay.
Well.
Yeah. 610-632-0975.
Yeah, well.
Yeah, well. So, go back to the phones. Yeah, well. Nick in Lehigh Valley. What's up, Nick?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Awesome, Nick. How are you?
Good, good. I like the t-shirt idea. Roll with it. I will buy one.
Fantastic. I'll pass that along.
They didn't ask us for our thoughts.
Never.
On the t-shirts.
No input. It's a missed opportunity, Nick.
Yeah.
Good. So I have a theory on the Astros, and I just wanted your thoughts. So I have this idea that the reason why they gave the players immunity was because I think it's deeper than the Astros, and, you know, maybe they'll get more into it with other teams, but...
Yeah, see?
If they would penalize the players for the Astros, that would set precedent for every other team. And if things come out in the future, you know, that other teams are doing this, then they're going to have to penalize every player, you know, that's involved, and it would be even bigger than it is now.
And Nick, I know that you're not like an investigative reporter, but I'm just asking generally, like, do you believe that there are teams that are just cheating across the league, or there are more teams that have done something similar to specifically what the Astros did?
So I listened to a podcast, and I had heard that, you know, just hearsay, that when Beltran came over to the Astros, he had brought something from Texas with him, and that was the thing.
Wow.
And I mean, I take it for what, you know,
right, who knows,
hear, but
yeah.
But, you know, if that is true, then that would definitely explain part of why they don't want to penalize the players.
Just for, like, the negative press that it's going on with the teams?
It wouldn't only be Houston. It would be, you know, multiple teams, and that would be even worse, you know, for the league.
So, just to go head-to-head a little bit with you on this, Nick, I agree that more of this, like, being widespread is bad, but I would also say the Astros have kind of been, like, the model organization during that time, and the fact that they won World Series, I don't know how much worse it can get than the class of your league putting your league's championship at risk. If this is something you want to stamp out, like, if you're serious about it and you're going to treat it like it's something that should be stamped out, if you're the league, you should be trying to find this everywhere, as opposed to, like, some of the other cheating things that you might be able to let slide.
True. Okay. I see your point. I do have kind of a flip side to affect the players. Now, like, I know with the Players Association, you can only do so much to the players. So what about the players that it affected? So, like, if, say, a guy got sent down to the minors and, you know, he's out and he never gets back into the bigs, you know, that guy's no longer with the league. So can that guy file a lawsuit for, you know, missed out pay, or, you know, are they able to pinpoint that? You know, can they do anything like that?
See, we were talking about that, Nick, and thanks for the phone call. Appreciate it.
Go ahead.
So tough to do. Like, that's almost the reverse of what we were talking about with the entry exam, right? Where you never know if you made it because you cheated or not. Like, we'll never know if you were on a trajectory out of the league and the Astros were just like the last nail in the coffin that kind of determined it. But if I am one of those players, I'm exploring everything. Like, I mean, you can sue anybody for anything in this country nowadays. I'm going to do everything that I can, at least to get something going on there. But, I think more than anything, it's just an unfortunate thing that, like, it happened and we can't erase it. But that's, those are the people that I thought of first, like, even more than anybody else. It's like, yeah, the Stars are going to be fine. Like, Clayton Kershaw is going to be fine. He's not losing a job because of what happened with the Astros.
He's,
like,
got revenge on his mind now.
That's right.
About it. But the other guys, they have revenge on their mind, but in a different way, where you're now
starting, on a couch.
Yes, some legal stuff possibly. To try to get themselves back in a better position. It's not going to get them a new job, possibly, right? There's no other team that's going to be like, oh, yeah, you've been out for 2 years. Come on back. Let me give you a workout. Possibly, but I doubt it.
And you're
what is your
meeting,
agent to do?
Yeah, your agent's calling people and is like, hey, we both know the only reason this guy's out of the league is because the Astros. Like, how bad does that
look? That's a bad
too?
Phone call.
I mean, it's not good.
That's a tough phone call. 610-632-0975. We'll keep this going. On the other side, Josh, you'll be first. We'll also ask Joe Torti his thoughts on the NBA's All-Star Weekend. 610-632-0975. Joe Torti, Devon Givens, Josh Rabick is producing the show. We're here with you until 10 right here on The Fanatic.
The Fanatic.
O'clock, 97.5 The Fanatic. You'll love the talks that Joe Torti and I have during the breaks. 610-632-0975.
I truly do wonder sometimes how like we end up talking about the things that we end up with.
Yeah.
Well, you have to talk to the station, tell them to monetize the commercial breaks. We'll stream it and it'll be great. It'll be fun.
Broadcasting from the Xfinity studio, only from Comcast. Again, Joe Torti, Devon Givens, Josh Rabick. 610-632-0975 together until 10 o'clock here. We have Josh waiting to talk some Astros and the penalty and everything that has taken place so far. But Josh, before we get to you, Joe, I have to ask you about the NBA All-Star Weekend and what you thought when we left each other on Wednesday. We were talking about the 20-year anniversary of Vince Carter.
Yes.
And a fantastic dunk contest. You gave your favorite. I gave my favorite. We had Connor in here and Nat in here to talk about their favorites as well. Many calls. And I thought that, you know what? The weekend itself, forget about the Rising Stars game and Celebrity game and all that stuff, which I'll be in when the next time it's here in Philadelphia.
busting people.
Yeah, busting people. They got to get here soon, though.
not too soon, though.
Just give me a couple more months. Yeah. What did you make of the entire weekend from, let's say, three-point shootout dunk contest to the All-Star game last night?
I think overall, the weekend was a decided step up from last year in particular. I thought last year was actually kind of weak in terms of an All-Star weekend.
Totally agree.
I don't know. I heard you guys talking about bringing in new people and attracting new. I have
for the dunk contest
for like All-Star weekend generally, like the change in All-Star game format and all that. Uh-huh. Kind of, I think that there are people like if you are going to watch the NBA or NHL All-Star game, you're just gonna do that. Like I don't know if you're necessarily going to grab casual fans no matter what you do. Having said that, if that's not the goal and the goal is to just do the best thing, this is the best thing. Like I thought that the format of the All-Star game in particular really worked. I wasn't sure how it was going to work. It really, really did work.
Yeah, and at the end, of course, the final frame
period, yeah.
Where you had to go through and get to a certain point total. And I loved it because we talked about this with a caller. It's like playing outside on the street, right? You play, 5-on-5, we're playing until 10. All right, let's go.
And it's very fitting because Kobe described it as this should be the ultimate pickup game. Like that's what the vibe should be. And that's exactly what it felt like. Really, really cool.
And it showed itself out at the end.
Yeah.
It was really good. It was really entertaining. You had the best that they decided to have. I wonder too, if it was the coaches really, or if it was the star players saying, no, I want this guy, this guy, this guy, this guy on the floor.
Good question.
LeBron is saying, I want Davis, Kawhi, Harden, Paul. When you could have gone Simmons, you could have gone Westbrook was out there a little bit, but
so I think
he was on the other side.
I think it's a collective thing, right? Like, I think that I don't think that it was coaches making decisions. I truly don't. I think that it, just like any...
Captains?
Yeah, any captains making decisions. Pickup game that you've played, how much, like, deciding really is there? There's somebody who's like, all right, I'll sit, or like, whatever, right? If you're Luka Doncic and Trae Young, you don't have any business being out there anyway when it might be so-and-so's last All-Star
game. You have to wait your turn.
Yeah, exactly. If you're Ben Simmons, Ben doesn't strike me as the type that's like, I need to be out there, man. Like,
that's bad, though.
What?
You want him to be that way.
In an All-Star game? I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, Kyle Lowry, like, flopping in the middle of an All-Star game twice.
Fantastic.
I'm like, come on, man.
It's Kyle, man. Come on.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I thought overall, like that's the way. That was my read on it. Was like, you know, there's people that are like, I get it. My turn's later. I'll sit back. You know, Trey and I'll just shoot our half court shots and stuff later. You know,
yeah.
Like that's. I like the fact that who ended up on the floor at the end did, though. I thought that was a good group.
So you thought Lowry should have been out there on Giannis's
team?
Yeah,
he's never going to make another All-Star game.
Over Trae Young and that type of...
Yeah, okay. And that's why. It's because I don't think Lowry's ever going to make another All-Star
team.
So like, he should get the chance to play.
A lot of people thought he was done once Kawhi left. And,
yeah.
But he did it again.
Well, the team...
And deserved. Well-deserved.
Yeah, exactly. So that well-deserved. I agree. The dunk contest, I'm done with.
You didn't like it.
I really, really
I liked it. I liked... Why didn't you like it?
Okay. Couple of reasons.
Okay.
Why. One, I have this irrational love dating back to his Arizona days for Aaron Gordon dunks. Like the fact that he does dunk contest dunks in the middle of the game. Derrick Jones Jr. does too. Which
yes, he does.
I appreciate. So it's not about Derrick Jones Jr. It's about... First of all, I go into it with a bad taste in my mouth thinking that he already got screwed in the LaVine one once, even though LaVine also showed out. Way too many 50s. We need to get some people that understand what the dunk contest is, okay? This is not like, what would you give Steph Curry if Steph Curry completed this dunk, okay? Like, if Steph Curry did anything that these guys did in the dunk contest, like, you could already see Mike Breen, like, falling out of his chair, and Van Gundy's trying to pick him up by the time the next play starts, okay? These are, like, we talked about Desmond Nason. Dudes who dunk. Like, yep. Dudes yep. in the dunk contest.
Yep.
All right, so I'll let my nerd show just for a second, and
continue,
then I'll pull it back.
Continue.
There are things in fighting video games called combo contests, okay?
Okay.
So, in the combo contest, if you and I think of, like, combos in a video game, if you ever played Mortal Kombat or any fighting video game or whatever, we can picture, like, a little 1-2-3 situation. Nice! Super cool. That felt really good to do a combo. You go watch a combo contest in a video game standpoint. You have people bouncing off of floors, off the walls, off of items. Like, the combos last for 45 seconds.
Nerd!
Yes. You're seeing what I'm saying is, you're seeing a different kind of thing than what you would expect, okay? Just because a dunk is jaw-dropping does not mean that it's a 50 when these guys put them out over and over and over again. You need to find
so
judges.
So how do you judge it?
You need to find judges who get it, who understand that you're watching
dunking
freaks.
Oh, you mean like the ones,
freaks.
Like you mean like the ones that I brought up earlier, Dr. J, George Gervin.
Yes.
Those types of, okay.
Dominique Wilkins.
Dominique.
Michael Jordan.
If he decides to do it.
Guys who understand what it is like to, Desmond Mason and Vince Carter would be perfect.
Michael Jordan would have given a 4 to one of those dunks.
Vince Carter should have been there last night since he did not get the Dirk Nowitzki, Dwayne Wade treatment.
Yeah, uh-huh,
he should have been part of the dunk contest judging.
I agree.
Yep.
So that's my thing. I don't mind that you have celebrities in there, but when's the last time that we saw a celebrity give a grade that like wasn't a 50 on a routine basis? You know what I mean? Like it's every time we see it, it's like, oh! You know, like the falling over reactions, and it's all good.
I don't know, because one of them they did put up there, and Chadwick Boseman went with a 9, I think it was, and everybody was like, "Oh, what was that?"
I respect that. Chadwick Boseman says he's like, "No, nah. Getting it."
Yeah, he's like, "No, nah,
right,
no."
That's what I'm saying. If you give somebody like instead of 50s, if you give somebody a 40, that dunk doesn't suck. It's just not like a literal. If you get a 50, you should win the contest. Like, that's what I'm saying. If you get 150, you should win the contest.
You think it was peer pressure? You know, a little bit of pressure there?
It's just
Josh,
always,
you say yes?
And maybe. It's just always
I say,
like
I,
this.
I don't fold under peer pressure. I'm giving you a 7 if it's a 7.
I know. But
it's all to it.
But I think that you also can operate from an area where it's like, I've seen enough stuff to know what is truly jaw-dropping and what is Dwight Howard putting on a cape, throwing a ball in a basket, or Blake Griffin dunking a basketball normally and then sitting down in a Kia. Like, you know what is an actual 50 dunk and what is stupid and not a 50 dunk. Anyone who can jump over Taco Fall, you're going to give me issues about the cleanliness of that dunk when he's dunking over Taco Fall? Get out of here! Oh, I'm so mad.
Is that a 50?
No.
I agree. I was like, all right, 49. That's. I was like, that's cool. That was good. That was really good. Derrick Jones was better.
In this case, it was
for their face-off on that particular round that they went at the end. Also, I thought that Derrick Jones Jr. was the best.
Last thing before we get to Josh, my last take on the dunk contest here: diving and figure skating. Believe me, have it right here. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I get that people like creativity. But it gives these guys so much of an out rather than having to submit your lineup ahead of time and say, this is what I'm going for. This is the order that I'm doing things. Because then the judges have the ability to know, hey, this dude said he was going to do a 540 dunk. He did a 360. That's good, but that's not what he said he was going for.
The heads up.
Right, give them a heads up ahead of
time. But doesn't it take away from the, all right, I'm waiting for it. Yes, you want to see it. I don't believe this is actually going to happen. But doesn't it just take away from some of the intrigue of
if you're a judge or
if you're a judge.
It does, but that's what I'm saying. Like, my point is...
So your point is you have to find a way.
Well, if you find guys like Vince Carter and Dominique Wilkins and that, are these guys going to be blown away by any dunk that they see?
Okay.
They're just going to be like, all right, I know how hard it is to do this versus that.
All right.
Also, if you miss a dunk, that's it. Like, I think if you miss your dunk, that dunk is done for that round, and then you have to move on to the next.
We brought up the Iguodala dunk, where he was robbed.
Totally robbed. That was the best dunk of the night.
Nate Robinson, 15 chances.
And one.
Bad pass by Markelle Fultz or good pass by Markelle Fultz?
Right.
Which one was it?
I thought it was a good pass.
So did I. Yeah. I thought he deliberately hit that corner of the that's where it was supposed to be. It wasn't supposed to be on the side.
Right.
Like Iverson put it for Iguodala, even though Iguodala, he got, and his was great. So was Aaron Gordon's, to catch it with one hand, cuff it.
Yeah.
And just.
Shocking.
360.
That's what I'm What I'm saying is, you saw that, you're like, all right, that's it.
I was like damn.
You know it when you see it, is my point about the 50. Like, if you're like, how about a 50? Versus like, yo, that was a 50. That could close it down.
Yeah, that was exactly. a 50.
That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, it was. I thought it was good, though, because they had so many different things. No, I get your point about the 50s. I'm just talking about, in general, the dunk contest was solid.
Okay.
Compared to other years. Like the last time that Derrick Jones was out there and he lost. Last time Aaron Gordon and Zach LaVine was out there and he lost. That type of thing.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Dwight Howard not dunking and winning the dunk contest had me angry.
Oh, when he threw it in?
Yeah, he didn't even make it.
It was a cape.
He put on a cape and threw it in. It's bad. Blake Griffin sitting in a Kia. Come on, people.
And he got a card. He got a deal out of it.
Yeah, he drove home in it.
Got a deal out of it. You can't be mad at that one. 610-632-0975 Josh in Warminster next on the Fanatic. What's up, Josh? Josh.
We got to put Josh on.
Got to put him on hold. He wanted to talk about some Astros stuff.
He's hanging in there.
Yeah, maybe, you know, didn't want to talk some basketball. Understood, though. But I did like it. What do you think about the 3-point contest coming down to the wire? Buddy awesome. Hield, final shot, walk off. Not like Larry Bird, but walk off.
First of all, super awesome. That Devin Booker balls out when people are shooting him sideways, looks like he doesn't belong there.
Well, he belongs.
Dame bails out.
He always belongs in the 3-point shootout.
I agree. Yes. I agree completely. So awesome that he crushed that. And then Buddy Hield. How about Buddy? Needed the last one.
Yeah.
Baby.
Clutch.
That was good.
It was cool because Buddy gets on my nerves a lot, but.
Gets on a lot of people's nerves.
Yeah, he gets on my nerves a lot. And, you know, dating back to college, but he can shoot. That's one thing he can do. And for him to hit that shot in the walk-off situation like that, big time.
You know why Buddy Hield made Devon angry in college?
What's that?
It's because anyone who is good enough to go to the NBA but doesn't to stay in college and beat up on children gets Devon upset. Like,
what was he?
He's like 22 years old or something when he graduated.
I mean, you know, that's okay.
But like, I bet if you ask Devon like what he thinks about like Cassius Winston from Michigan State, he's like, I hate that guy.
Nah, I like Cassius Winston. He's tough. Yeah,
he's really tough. But he probably already could have gone if he wanted to.
I forgot. He gave a reason why he stayed, too, didn't he?
Everybody stays like at Michigan State. I mean, I think that's something like that, Everybody stays at Michigan State.
Yeah.
All the time.
Well, you know, Villanova, Oklahoma, 2017.
Yeah, that hurts, too. Annoys
blew,
you.
Blew their asses out.
Well, I know. Regular season. He'll give him nothing.
Yeah. Kale came and shut it down.
Buddy Hield never needed to be a senior. It's ridiculous.
You're probably right.
You know, that was insane.
610-632-0975 Chris and Williamstown on the Fanatic.
They did
next.
Shut it down, though.
Yes, they did. That was a blowout. I remember sitting in. Hold up, Chris. I remember we were sitting in the I was sitting in the media room at the center. It was a game, Sixers game, at like 7:30. Villanova and Oklahoma had played an earlier game. That was the Final Four.
Uh huh.
They played the earlier game.
I was in that chair when this happened. Yes.
And I was sitting there, and I'm sitting there watching it. You know, stuff is going on in the court with the warm-ups, and they're like, you going, no. Right? So I'm sitting there watching it, and I'm like, yo, blown these dudes out. Oklahoma was supposed to be it, right?
Enjoy the Wooden Award, though.
Yeah.
Buddy.
Uh-huh. Let's take that title all day long. Chris in Williamstown next on the Fanatic. What's up, Chris?
Devon, Joe, always a pleasure, gentlemen. Before I get to the dunk contest, were either of you really paying attention to the broadcast leading up to that last round for Buddy Hield, where they talked about the Kobe factor and Buddy Hield's, you know, pass? I mean, I know Kobe touches a lot of people,
yeah.
But supposedly he was really kind of like putting Buddy Hield on the map. And
I remember he spoke to him in college, because I remember Kobe being in the stands one time, and after Buddy had a good game, he went up into the stands to talk to Kobe, you know, security around him and all that stuff. I do remember that far back.
But they were talking about that before he took that last round, Devon, and it was just really kind of like a magic in his own to really see him win it. You know, it just worked out perfectly.
Awesome.
As far as a dunk contest, you know, like, well, and Josh told it to me, you know, and kind of made me realize, if you go back and watch that Aaron Gordon last dunk, he did kind of land on Taco's neck. But, I mean, gosh, when I think about it, I think the fact that Derrick Jones Jr. was a foot inside that foul line should have been the reason he lost. Like, he was going to do the Jordan from the foul line dunk. He was a foot short. That would have been the perfect time to say, okay, that's it. We're ended right there. Gordon wins. It's not a 50. It's like a 48-49. Derrick Jones Jr., 46-47. And we call it a day, and everything's good. I still think Gordon should have won that contest hands down.
Maybe. You know what I think, too? At that point, with those guys dunk off as long as they did, people were like, they're tired.
So yeah, just end this.
Yeah, so with him not jumping from the free throw line, because remember, you're right, they did end it. They were like, the officials came over and were saying whatever they were saying, and then the numbers came up, but those dudes were exhausted. They were cooked. What else were they going to be able to do? So when he intended to jump from the free throw line, there was no way he was going to jump from the free throw line after everything that they had done, already eliminating Connaughton and Dwight Howard.
And, you know, as far as the game itself, you know, guys, we hear, oh, everything's going to be, you know, we hear what we hear out of Joe and Ben about the camaraderie and the relationship between the two of them. Man, when Ben Simmons intercepted that pass by Joel Embiid, like, that's why I think this whole idea, the way they structure this, will create more and more heat between players that are on the same team going against one another. I really wish they, and I told D-Line.
You mean, in the game or when they get back to their respective teams?
Oh, yeah. No. In the All-Star itself, Joe tried throwing it over top of Ben. Ben just simply jumped up, grabbed it, and threw it down court. And it was like, you know, that could create a little bit of tension between two guys and further put that divide there that doesn't need to be there. They need to go back to the way it was.
Not in the regular season. I don't think that matters because sometimes they play against each other. Hold on. They play against each other in practice. Starters don't always play with starters in practice. They mix it up a bit.
Yeah. But that's not on TV, Devon, for the whole world to see where you could embarrass your teammate and pretty much put your teammate out. Like, all right, let me just say this. This is why I wish they would go back to the way baseball is, where it actually meant something for either side to have that advantage. You're not doing it in the standings. Home field would be home court would be determined on that. Give them some more to actually work for those other three quarters, because that last quarter was absolutely the most fun you saw All-Star weekend, that fourth quarter of that game.
It was fantastic, man. Thanks for the call, Chris. What do you think about what Chris said and some of the problems in the locker room?
Well, I mean, I think that I can't speak to it large scale across the league, but in terms of the Sixers, like, you watch Ben Simmons after the Kyle Lowry flop come out and give the big whack to the rear end of Joel Embiid. Yeah, it looks like those guys are really hating each other. Like, to me, I was like,
it's all in good fun.
Yeah, it's all cool. Yeah, exactly.
It's all in good fun. You're not worried about something like that.
Able to put that behind you.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that you've probably played against some guys that are your close friends that you have absolutely busted, and you've probably both gotten heated.
And they've gotten
the course
me.
Of a, yeah, exactly.
They destroyed me.
And probably you get heated during the game, and then when you're going to grab food afterwards or whatever, it's done. Like, the whole thing's over, and you just move on.
Even sometimes you sit there and talk about it, like, all right, you got me on that one.
That was a good move. Yeah, exactly.
That was a good one.
And to,
you back next
to your point about the dunk-off, it's a terrible idea. Like, anybody who has, and I'm not saying that I ever had significant athletic ability in anything. But if you've ever done vertical jump training, you know that you've got like 10 really, really good ones. So you got 10 where you're jumping as high as you can go. And on like number 11, you do not have a whole lot left without like resting and recovering and stuff like that for a little bit of time. So asking these guys to like dunk and dunk and dunk, and not only that, to be better and better and better and better, I thought that was a tough way.
And I'm not making an excuse when I say they're cooked. That's a lot of energy.
That's a ton of energy. Yeah, that's crazy. By the way, I would have been okay with a tie. I'm like,
I was going to ask you that because I said that. My cousin reached out on the text line and said there should have been a tie. And then one of my close friends said, no, you dunk it out until there's one winner.
I don't agree.
I disagree with him.
Yeah, I don't agree with that.
Why do you feel like it should? Why would you been? Why would you have accepted a tie?
Because here, and once again, this is the too many 50s thing. If these guys, as far as I'm concerned, the dunk contest is a showcase of athleticism, creativity, that sort of thing. If there is literally nothing between the guys, then as far as I'm concerned, we've got nothing to talk about. Like, if it's literally, those are the things that I would judge the dunk contest on, not who can hang in there and continue to deliver over and over and over. Because if it turns into an endurance thing, that's not as interesting. Like, these guys aren't going to go for it in the early rounds.
No.
You know what I mean? Like, so I looked at it, if there's really nothing between them, if you're determined to give these guys 50s the whole way, and like you've seen what you've seen, you're not going to see anything better. They're giving you the best already. As far as I'm concerned, if that didn't separate, then you don't need to separate. Then these guys did their job, and you just call it a tie, and you call it good.
Call it good. And you know what? See you guys next year.
Yeah. Hopefully. You guys get automatic passes.
Hopefully.
You know, whatever you want to do.
And we'll find the other two contestants and see what happens. Hopefully they join in because they saw what you guys did last year, and now you face off again. If I were Aaron and Gordon, though, I would not come back ever.
No, he had it right. He's like, I'm going to try the three next time. I'm like, all right, cool. You're not going to win the 3-point. Yeah, he said he's
going to do the 3-point contest. He's not winning that either.
Well, I agree.
He's not a 3-point shooter.
3-point shooter.
Exactly.
Yeah. But if you don't win, you did what you did
twice,
and you've got nothing left. Like, there's nothing left to give. It's like running for president again. It doesn't work out a lot. You know, if you lost the first time, it doesn't often work out when you run again.
610-632-0975. Talking some baseball. Astros, problems, Major League Baseball, and of course the All-Star Weekend. What did you guys make of it? Did you like it? Did you not like it? What did you think of Simmons and Embiid in the game? 610-632-0975. Joe Torre, Devon Givens, Brian, we'll get to you when we get back right here on The Fanatic. .97 here on The Fanatic on this Monday night. Hope you guys are having a good evening. Joe Torte, Devon Givens, Josh Rabick producing the show. 610-632-0975. A lot of people talking baseball with the Astros, of course, and the All-Star Weekend dunk contest, everything involved. Overall, 610-632-0975. Starting to get some tweets in there as well. You always good at catching these tweets. I didn't see many of them, and now I'm taking
There's a peek.
There's
a ton, yeah. That's been a big response here.
Yeah. Yeah, there has. 610-632-0975. So, I'll give you one real fast before we get to Brian. This is Amp Steelers to both of us here on Twitter, Joe.
Uh-huh.
Vacate the World Series. Postseason ban. Players involved suspended for a season. Manfred should step down. Ruining the little integrity this game still has. Pathetic by him.
Okay, so vacate the World Series. I'm okay with that. I laid out the reasons why I'm not a fan of the Astro postseason ban.
Because you just have them only on the road.
I think that's a good way to do it, yeah. I mean, because then they still, in theory, have a chance to win a World Series. You've got pitchers stretching themselves. You've got call-ups and that sort of thing. As opposed to the Astros just like kind of playing the waiting game. Players involved suspended for a season would be okay with this too, provided that it's every player who was on those rosters for that 3-year period. Is that something that you're willing to do? Because you can't just point to Altuve and McCann, and like you can't just point to like the quote unquote the faces of this thing. You know, just because there's been somebody hiding, we don't know.
Yeah, if anything, you had to hit everyone.
Everyone.
Except for the ones that weren't on the roster.
Right, during that time.
During that time.
Like, all right. Rob Manfred should step down. I told you, I think that if I'm Rob Manfred, you said that it would look really bad. Rob Manfred's powerful enough to be like, yeah, I dropped this one, and I'm going to make it right, and here's how I'm going to make it right, and like just kind of backpedal. Yeah, it looks like he was pressured and folded, but that's what they think of now. They think that he got pressured by the Players Association or by the Astros or whatever. Like, I think that it's okay for him to say, all right, I reevaluated things, and this is what I'm going to do. And like I said, make the players' union decide that they're going to defend the Houston Astros for what they did.
Yeah, 610-632-0975, Jack 678. 483-44.
That's a lot of numbers.
A lot of numbers. 1 year suspension for the league for everyone involved. Should at least be as bad as multiple drug test failures. When you look at it, with what they did is worse cheating than PEDs, their use. It's multiple teammates, the managers, and coaches conspiring to cheat as bad as the Black Sox.
Yeah, so if you're cheating, and I'm sorry, I can't remember if I said this on the air, if we said it during a break, but if you are stealing signs from second base, for example, and relaying to the batter, you're going to get found out, and you're going to get punished in the baseball way, whether there's a brawl or whether you get beaned or whatever. Like, there are, when people are like, everyone's cheating, I'm like, okay, what does that mean? Because what the Astros are doing, like Jack says, an institutional, like the whole system is revolved around this, and there are so many different people involved, as opposed to a second baseman swiping a sign trying to relay to a batter, and then he gets plunked later. Everybody gets kind of what the basic cheating rules are. This is new ground, as far as I'm concerned.
And Dennis from Ben Salem hit us up as well on Twitter, but he's also on hold, so we'll let him explain when we get him up there. But we go to Brian first in Plymouth Meeting on the Fanatic. What's up, B? How you doing?
Hey, guys. How's it going tonight?
Doing great.
Basketball real quick before we get into the baseball stuff. I've been out on All-Star Weekend since Nate Robinson, so thanks for bringing that up, Vaughn. You know, it's fun for the kids, whatever, but I care way too much about basketball as it is, so it's nice to just ignore it for a weekend and refresh for the second half of the year.
It's healthy. It's like a retreat.
And Kyle Lowry should definitely be banned from the NBA for life. So I'm like kind of like, where did all these baseball fans come from? Are they like Yankees fans that are just like calling in? You know, and there's a few different things I think about the story. I mean, number one, to prevent this going forward, it's, you know, I feel like one of the, you had a caller a couple weeks ago on this show that said it like, all we need to do is put an earbud in the pitcher's ear and some way for the catcher to communicate that and problem solved and we don't have to worry about it going forward. And it's, there's definitely a huge money element to it. And, you know, Manfred, from, they've got a CBA negotiation coming up. I mean, as somebody else noted, I mean, the sport is in decline anyway. If they have another work stoppage, that's going to be really bad for them.
Yep.
They definitely do not want to take a high revenue team that that takes in a lot of money and then spreads that around to the teams that don't want to spend any money and make them a non-factor so that, you know, the other owners are not getting money in revenue sharing. And, you know, I don't care one way about the Astros, and I'm just kind of like, whatever. And if you go digging, I mean, this is heresy, but are we really sure with Chase Utley at the intensity? Like, do we really want to dig too far into this? Like, I don't know.
Well, I here's what I said, Brian, and it's, you bring up a good point. It's like, is this something that everyone's doing? If this particular deal, this particular circumstance is something the Major League Baseball has said, all right, well, this is where the line is drawn. Like, they're bending the rules, and then there's this. Well, then I do think that every kind of case of this should be looked at versus, you know, whatever other lesser variations of cheating there are as determined by Major League Baseball, because police does, it does police itself a little bit sometimes.
Yeah, I'm just saying that because we did have the incident with the binoculars in the bullpen. I forget what year that was, but that was towards the end of that team's run.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, give the pitchers earbuds, no more signs, and then there won't be any more sign stealing, and, you know, baseball can just continue to die of boredom. I love baseball, but it's boring, let's face it.
Oh, yeah.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it.
Like you love baseball.
Earbuds. Give them the earbuds.
No, I don't like the earbud idea. I don't like that at all.
No?
No, I mean, there are teams that roll into Gillette and all of a sudden their headsets don't work and stuff like that in New England. I know too much about tech to trust it. I just know way too much. I don't have a video baby monitor in my house because I know how easy it is for somebody to hack a baby monitor and either be talking to my kid or looking at my kid. You know, like, it's, I just know too much. I know too much about technology to be like, oh yeah, the earbud will work. You know, it might work. But if you want to cheat, here's what I'm saying. The Astros weren't incidentally cheating. Like, you're trying to do this thing. It's not something you happen to notice and you're like, hey, I'm just going to take advantage of this every time, you know?
Yes.
You're trying to do this. They're going to stop at, like, not trying to intercept, you know, the earbud situation. Like, there are police radio scanners out there. You can hear what's going on with the police communicating with each other. You think it's going to be impossible for us to hear what's going on from one microphone to the pitcher's earpiece?
Mm-hmm.
I don't like it.
No, I agree with you. 610-632-0975. Lucas in Pottstown on the Fanatic. What's up, Luke?
What's going on, guys?
Hey, Lucas.
So I want to go back to that, like, the dunk contest and stuff, and talking about, like, the scores. Why don't they have, like, ex-dunkers, like, legendary dunkers be the judges that who actually understand how difficult some of these dunks are to do?
Yeah, we said that a few times this evening, man, where Julius Erving, Dominique Wilkins, George Gervin, those types of, Vince Carter, he should,
like,
have been there.
Michael Jordan.
If he would do it, but, you know, yeah.
But going back to the whole Astros cheating scandal, Mike Trout came out today and said something. He was like, man, it would be pretty fun going up there and knowing what pitch was coming at
him.
Right,
like, right.
They'd be smacking home runs out of the park all day. Like, because I understand, like, the ban for steroids is pretty harsh. But steroids don't really help you hit the ball. They just help the ball go farther. When you know what pitch is coming, it's a lot easier to hit the ball. And I play baseball myself. And, like, when the guy on second base picks up on the catcher's signs and tells you curveball's coming, it's a lot easier to hit that curveball than just going up there blank.
Well, and Lucas, that's what people are talking about, too, is like, oh, well, you still have to hit it, and still hard to hit a baseball if you know what's coming. It's like, yeah, it's hard for us. Like, is it hard for Mike Trout? Is it hard for, like, the top-level hitters in the game?
Barry Bonds and Sammy Sosa?
Yeah.
Yeah, thanks for the call, man. No, you're absolutely right.
Yeah, of course it's hard for us. You know, for Jose Altuve,
I might pull my back.
Right, exactly. Altuve's got a strike zone that's so small to begin with. If he knows what's going to be coming through that thing, come on, man.
But he, you know,
he
might hurt his shoulder because the tattoo wasn't complete. And he still had the bandages on it.
Yeah, don't want to tear anything up.
No.
Kenneth Coleman tweets in, hey guys, was that last caller really a baseball fan? Didn't sound like it to me. No, I don't think so. I don't think Brian's a big baseball fan. But to be fair, I mean, his point
he
is,
he loves baseball.
I'm just kidding, of course. Obviously. He said he loves baseball.
Of course.
Messing around.
Yeah.
But he did bring up a point, like, where do all these baseball fans come from? It's different than, like, hey, pitchers and catchers are here. You know, like, you're talking about, like, the integrity, like, whether a sport is going to continue in the way that it's going or not.
Right.
I mean, like, when you're talking about the integrity of the sport, people show out. I think that's why people want to talk about it.
Absolutely, man. 610-632-0975. Al, hang on. We'll get to you first. And as promised, we'll get Dennis from Bensalem as well. Everyone else, 610-632-0975. Joe Torti, Devon Givens, final segment. Josh Rabick producing as well. And maybe we'll hear from Mike Trout and his comments, Joe, on this entire thing. We read the quotes earlier. We just got it right there. We'll let you hear it on the other side right here on the Fanatic.
The Fanatic.
Oh, final segment, 97.5 The Fanatic.
Stunning.
Stunning.
we've come this far already.
Devon Givens, Josh Rabick, 610-632-0975.
It's been very nice, though.
Yes, stunning. Just absolutely stunning. Josh, might as well let people hear what Mike Trout had to say about everything with the Houston Astros and what he thinks about all of these penalties and the fact that they, you know, were caught for cheating and, you know, disrespected the game, a lot of people say. So here's Mike Trout on the Astros.
I don't agree with the punishments. You know, the players not getting anything. You know, it was a, like
career has been affected. A lot of people, you know, lost jobs. It was tough. It'll be me going up to play knowing what's coming. It'll be pretty fun up there. So, yeah, it's just, like I said, a lot of guys lost respect for some of the guys. And, you know, it seems like every day something new comes out. So,
how do you feel about this?
You know, I got close relationships with all them guys. And, you know, it's tough seeing stuff when it comes out, you know. A lot of guys reached out to me, and it's tough. Like I said, it's not good for baseball, and it's sad to see.
Guys from the Astros reached out to you?
Yeah, a couple guys. I'm not going to name any names.
No,
but,
what was it basically the message? Were they apologizing? Were they trying to explain themselves?
Just trying to explain what happened. You know, you read a lot of stuff in the paper, and, you know, once you read something, a lot of people jump to that conclusion. But sometimes it's right, sometimes it's false. It's, you know, so like I said, it was a tough off season to see that as a baseball player, and you know, you just hope Major League Baseball cleans it up and play good baseball from here on out.
What's your view of that World Series championship?
You know, it's tough because you don't know, you know, what helping or what not, but if you know what's coming, it's gonna definitely help you. I think that's, you know, it's tough. You're taking the trophy away, taking the rings away. I think they should definitely do something. I don't know what, but to cheat like that and not get anything, it's sad to see. Sure.
That is AL MVP Mike Trout speaking on the Astros and the penalties, and got guys reaching out from the Astros to explain themselves to him, Joe Torti.
Well, first of all, you shouldn't have anything to explain to Mike Trout.
No.
But also, what are you going to say? Like, if...
Why'd you do it, dude?
Right, yeah,
I mean, what do you...
Right, like, if the person that you're with is cheating on you, and they're like, well, hold on now. Let me, like, explain stuff. You're like, hold on, time out. Before you start explaining, are, like, any of the core facts going to be different? Or, like, was there the part where you were cheating on me? Because then we can just, like, kind of skip, like, the context and everything else. Like, that doesn't matter. Mike Trout's like, hold on, guys, before you start explaining stuff, were you using video camera technology to steal signs and then relay them to batters using a trash can?
Right.
If any of that is not true, then let's have this conversation. But if those facts are still going to be the case, like, why do I care what your explanation was? You know what I mean? Like, right. It's nothing. That's, I don't know. I don't think Mike Trout's a liar, so I believe that happened. That is weak sauce. You're not sorry. You're sorry you got caught.
Should he have said that they reached out to him?
Mike Trout could say whatever he wants.
Exactly.
Did, if he did, yeah.
Yeah.
If they did, yeah, absolutely.
That's why I asked.
I
agree.
They're in scramble mode, man.
Big time. Let's call the AL MVP, see if we can get him on our side.
By the way, you are unprincipled if, when approached with a cheating scandal, you will not speak at all unless you're promised immunity. Like, that's gross. Like, think about this. And I'm not saying that this guy knew, for sure. I'm not saying that. But like Verlander, right? Who does not have all that much more baseball left, right? If Verlander's like, yeah, I'll tell you, but I've got to have nothing happen to me. Like, come on, dude.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you've had a long career.
Mm-mm.
Like,
yeah, long career, clean name.
Yeah.
Clean.
Exactly.
I can't have this stain on my name.
Yeah, that's what I mean. This is bad. The immunity for the players is not something that I agree with in this particular case. Like, if you really feel bad about it, like, you should have a reduced penalty for cooperating. But reduced doesn't mean zero. That's insane.
Right. Yep. 610-632-0975. Al and Broomall on the Fanatic. What's up, Al?
First off, as a casual baseball fan, I think this is a disgrace. And what I mean by that is, you know, Pete Rose has been banned for life. These guys should be banned for something. And the penalty's just not fitting the crime. And unfortunately now, who knows what you're going to see in baseball. Manfred's got a big problem because people don't pay attention to it as it is. It's a declining sport. And if this is the way it's going to go, he's going to lose his fan base.
Well, and especially because, Al, like, the ones who are diehard baseball fans who are not part of the decline,
mm-hmm,
are proud of the history and the fact that it has been a largely upright sport where it's like, hey, cheating has been punished harshly and severely over the course of history.
So I have one question for you. What they did and what Pete Rose did, same levels, different levels, And, you know, I'm dying to hear your answer.
Well, I would say that I would probably say same level when it comes to, because, of course, Pete betted against his team. These guys just did what they did in terms of fixing the games the way that they did, which is really bad. And so many people were involved. And that's the thing. Pete did it by himself, and it was really terrible with what he did. But you're talking about multiple people for possibly multiple years doing what they did. And I agree with you. Things should be a little bit harsher. And Manfred is in a really tough spot, but things happen, and you are the commissioner, and you have to be the one to stand up and set that tone. As Joe pointed out, Al, he can, because he is in charge. Go back and say, you know what? I messed this one up. I need to fix this and make this right. Will he do it? We have no idea. But until then, people are going to look at him sideways, as I'm sure players already have spoken out about them looking sideways at him anyway. So I would say equal footing, Al, in terms of this.
Thank you. Great show, guys.
Thank you, man. What do you think?
Al, thanks. I was going to say the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
In that, like, did you cheat on baseball or did you bet on baseball or not? And he says, yes, but I only bet on my own team. Okay, there's no way for me to know that. Like, there's just no way that I could possibly know that. You're a manager. Like, you have inside knowledge. You can influence what happens. You can determine whether you're... like, if you're betting on your team to win...
Yes.
That can impact the way that you manage this game versus tomorrow's game if you know that you're betting on tomorrow's game and you need this reliever for tomorrow's game. Like, it doesn't matter. Like, and that's the thing that I think Pete's never understood, is that it doesn't matter if you say that you only bet on your team or if you did. Like, that's still something that doesn't work.
You still did it.
Still did it. And I think that it's actually tied kind of to the Astros situation, because there's a gambling element here too. Like, how many people... serious question. If you're in the Astros organization, you should be profoundly frightened. Because think about the shady gambling influence. Not the up-and-up gambling influence, but the shady gambling influence. And how many, let's just say, less than reputable people might have lost a lot of money betting against you, as Josh Rabick raises his hand, might be kneecapping somebody in the near future, because you were cheating. Like, to me, there's a tie. Like, the gambling is always going to be kind of like the invisible hand in sports, and that's something that it is definitely playing a role in this as well.
Let's go to our final call for us tonight. Dennis and Ben Salem here on the Fanatic. Dennis.
Gentlemen, pleasure as always to get to talk to you.
Always. Likewise, Dennis.
I want to start with the dunk contest, but Devana has to disagree with you.
Okay.
Manfred was in a beautiful spot here. He could have brought the hammer. He could have suspended
Fair.
Everybody.
Fair. Yep.
And made the players' union the bad guy when they went to fight and get everybody.
I guess what I meant, tough spot, just meaning that his sport is being looked at this way in his public eye.
Yeah.
But I agree with you. I agree.
Yeah. As for the dunk contest, I like I said earlier, look, I tapped out on the dunk contest when Dwight Howard won with a throwdown, not a dunk. I was like, yeah, I'm out.
As Joe said the same thing.
Yeah. It was too much. Having watched pretty much every dunk contest in the 90s and early 2000s,
yep.
There are certain dunks that shut it down. That's it. We don't need to see anybody else. Vince's elbow going into the rim.
Yep.
Only one person has ever been robbed. Iguodala.
Yep.
That dunk from behind the backboard, and then they give Robinson, like, what, 15, 16 attempts?
Yes.
Yeah.
Have Iggy sitting on the sidelines for 20, 30 minutes, body getting all tight. Oh, we're done playing now? All right, cool. Yeah, that was shameful.
No, it was. And by the way, Dennis, I'm not saying that this guy should have won, but if you're just going to poo-poo Pat Connaughton and putting the ball off the damn backboard and then dunking it, we've got big problems. Like, you don't know what it's like to try to do that. That's crazy.
Yeah, that was crazy. Now, as for how I felt it should be handled, Barry Bonds, hands down my favorite player in the history of the game. Now, I say that, I mean Pittsburgh Pirates Barry Bonds.
Right.
Pre-steroids Barry Bonds.
Sure.
I have no problem if he never makes the Hall of Fame.
Mm-hmm.
Like, watching him in Pittsburgh, he's a first ballot Hall of Famer.
Easily.
No problem. But what he did and the players' careers he cost by what he did, and McGuire and Sosa, I have no problem. None of them ever make it in. That being said, because the Astros cost other players their jobs, teams only understand one thing, their wallet. So you really want them to suffer? Every player the Astros played that season who's no longer in baseball, not because they retired and it was just the end of the season. I'm talking guys who got demoted and are no longer in baseball. Houston, guess what? You owe them 3 years of salary, and they're on your team this year.
Wow.
You're going to have to pay them a fourth year.
Wow, because you spend everybody and bring them back. Listen, man, thanks, man. We got to.
How about that?
We got to run. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it.
That's tough,
three
man.
3 years of salary, so what kind of salary? The salary that whatever they ended up
getting,
with?
Yeah, whatever okay. they were getting, right?
All right. What do you think about that?
I think Dennis is dropping the hammer, baby.
Yeah, that's like big time right there. That's like, big time right there.
Yeah, it really is.
This is always fun.
Always. Yeah, I can't believe that we've made it to the end. I'm sorry.
We'll do this again on Wednesday. I'm off tomorrow, so you'll be here Flyers hockey tomorrow.
Yes, afterwards, right around 10 to midnight, and then we'll team up again on Wednesday.
On Wednesday, so I'll be back 6 o'clock. Joe and I will team up at 8 o'clock on Wednesday. Josh Rabick doing a fantastic job as always. Thanks to all the callers and the tweets out there as well. We'll catch up to you, I will, on Wednesday at 6 o'clock. Stay tuned for Joe Torti, who will run with you until midnight tonight. 610-632-0975. Have a great night, and stay tuned for the Joe Torti Show right here on 97.5 The Fanatic.